Assalamu alaikum listeners, this is Radio Pakistan News and Current Affairs Channel, Islamabad. You are listening to program Perspective. I'm your host Muhammad Shiraz, joined in the studio by Muhammad Waqas. Listeners, as you know that in Perspective, we cover the events taking place nationally, regionally, globally in the world of politics. Listeners, in today's program, we will discuss and include the expert opinion on the developing news stories. Listeners, let me introduce you to today's top stories. The first one is obviously this unstoppable chain of baseless allegations from the Indian side and the Pakistani response to that. In that regard, Pakistan strongly rejects allegation of Indian media regarding the attack on Sanjawan camp in occupied Kashmir. India should refrain from any misadventure across the line of control and the working boundary. That was said by the Foreign Office spokesperson. Pakistan, according to him, Pakistan has strongly rejected allegations of Indian media regarding any attack on Sanjawan camp in the Indian-occupied Jammu and Kashmir. In a statement, a Foreign Office spokesperson, Dr. Muhammad Faisal, said it is an established pattern of Indian officials to issue irresponsible statements and level unfounded allegations before any proper investigation into any incident. He also said Pakistan is confident that the world community would take due cognizance of India's smear campaign against Pakistan and the deliberate creation of war hysteria. Listeners, we will definitely talk about it in detail and also take the expert opinion on this behavior of Indian state while committing state terrorism in Jammu and Kashmir, regardless of the fact, despite Pakistan has always been emphasizing on a peaceful and negotiated settlement of the Jammu and Kashmir dispute. Listeners, the next topic is relevant to the strengthening of democracy in Pakistan. That is the Senate election 2018. Free and fair and transparent elections to help strengthen political system and democratic setup in Pakistan. So this is going to be today's program's main topic. We will be back to discuss at length both these topics. First of all, obviously, Pakistani response to the Indian allegations. Right now, it's time for a short music break. Stay tuned to Radio Pakistan News and Current Affairs Channel.
रेडियो पाकिस्तान के न्यूज एंड करंट अफेयर्स चैनल से आप सुनते हैं प्रोग्राम नया दिन पीर से हफ्ता तक सुबह 10:05 से 11 तक। इस प्रोग्राम में आप सुन सकते हैं दुनिया में रोनुमा होने वाले अहम वाकयात, कराची से खैबर तक वतन अजीज का हाल अहवाल और मुल्की व बैनुल अक्वामी उमूर के माहिरीन की खसूसी तज्जिये। आप घर में हैं या सफर में या कर रहे हैं खेतों में काम, रेडियो पाकिस्तान कौम की आवाज हर दम हर लम्हा आपके साथ।
Welcome back, listeners. Pakistan strongly rejects allegations of Indian media regarding the attack on Sanjawan camp in occupied Kashmir. And the Foreign Office spokesperson said that India should refrain from any misadventure across the line of control and the working boundary. Listeners, as you know that India has always been in a blame game and has always blamed its own weaknesses and its own atrocities on other parts of the, on other people, especially Pakistan, on other states, because without the right solution, which is obviously a negotiable settlement to the dispute, there is no way forward.
So, Shiraz, to talk on this, we have been joined by Abdullah Gul, a renowned defense analyst on telephone line.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Sir, we're talking about Pakistan has strongly rejected allegations of Indian media regarding the attack on Sunjwan camp in occupied Kashmir. Sir, what is your take on this?
Well, bismillah ar-Rahim, first of all, wherever is terrorism going on, nobody knows better than Pakistan, because Pakistan is struck by terrorism for past almost over a decade or so. And we have sacrificed thousands of lives. Over 80,000 people were martyred in this war against terror. So, you know, India must understand that this is not any, you know, thing which as Pakistan is going to do, because Pakistan is already securing its territory. It is India who is not only, you know, facing a lot of, you know, activists over there who are in need of their independent territory. And there are 33 renowned independence movements going on in India. And over 100 terrorist organizations are there in India. Well, if you talk about Sunjwan Army Camp in Jammu, you know, I think it's a joke that they are saying, because there was a, you know, one Hindu soldier, the Sobedar Madan Lal was the one. And then Mr. Ashraf Mir, who was Sobedar Muhammad Ashraf Mir, a Muslim. Then Havaldar Habibullah Qureshi, again a Muslim. Then Naik Manzoor Ahmed, who is again a Muslim. And then last Naik Muhammad Iqbal, again a Muslim. And father of last Naik Muhammad Iqbal, a civilian. So among six casualties, there are five Muslim casualties. You know, what the hell are they talking? I do not know what, you know, have they gone out of their mind? Because, you know, earlier they were talking about the surgical strikes, and then, you know, General Bipin Rawat is talking about attacking Pakistan and, you know, threatening Pakistan. When Pakistan has threatened, Pakistan has never threatened India. Pakistan always defended its territory, and inshallah ta'ala, we will keep defending it. As far as the allegation is on Jaish-e-Mohammed, you know, Jaish-e-Mohammed is an organization which is not supported by Pakistan. It is an organization which is inside Jammu and Kashmir. It is their right to do whatever they, you know, if they cannot curb terrorism, I think they should seek some assistance from Pakistan. If the 36th Brigade Headquarters cannot be protected by their so-called a big army, then they should get some assistance from Pakistan. Maybe we can send some major or lieutenant colonel officers who can teach them how to protect their boundaries and how to control their you know, camps. Well, as far as this specific you know, story, I believe that this is not the first time, and this is not going to be probably the last time, because India is you know, forcing people to react in Kashmir. They are not giving them the right of independence, which is accepted by the Indian leadership time and again in United Nations. And now India has invoked Article 370, which is completely a violation of that treaty, you know. And of course, then on several accounts, India being calling themselves that they are the largest democratic country. Why the largest democratic country in the world, you know, is hesitating giving the right of self-determination to the people of Kashmir?
Right.
So this is something which is very strange. And then, you know, talking about blaming everything on Pakistan, it's a, you know, it's a blame game rhetoric which is not going to bring fruitful results. As far as, you know, this specific terrorist attack which was conducted yesterday, and still I think India is shaking till now. But, you know, their deputy minister of Jammu and Kashmir, Nirmal Singh, by, you know, again blaming Pakistan and others, this is not the way. And I think rightly it is said by our foreign office that we strongly condemned it, but at the same time, we have nothing to do with it.
Right.
And what about, terrorist attack going on in the Seven Sister area, which is known as the Red Corridor? Is it Pakistan also? No, it is not Pakistan. What about the places in Sikkim and Jharkhand and, Chhattisgarh? Is it Pakistan? Of course not. What about the Sikh movement going on in the Khalistan movement going on? So it is not Pakistan. What about Cochin and other places? So everywhere it is Pakistan. If Pakistan is so strong, I think they should surrender it to Pakistan. India should surrender its weapon, to Pakistan. That okay, Pakistan has become such a big threat to them, and they cannot control Pakistan. What they have done in the past. Wherever they have tried to, in fact, they are the ones who are sending insurgents to Pakistan, who
right.
are sending Kulbushan Yadav, serving officer to Pakistan. And what were they doing? They were playing with the people of Pakistan, with the lives of the people of Pakistan. And what about Surbajit Singh? What about Kashmir Singh? They were all terrorists. They were, declared terrorists. They were well known. And enough evidence has been given to India. They were sentenced by the court of Pakistan.
Right.
And the evidence was given to the rest of the world. So
right.
I think this is, this blame game must come to an end. And India should realize that, of course, the right of self-determination should be given to the people of Kashmir. Of course, they have, they have selected a date of Afzal Guru's fifth death anniversary. And Afzal Guru, if I remember correctly, Indian Supreme
right.
Court is on record when they said that enough evidence has been found against Afzal Guru, but to satisfy the inner conscience of the Indian nation, we are going to hang him. If this is the if this is the quality of law they people are enjoying in India, I'm sorry, sir, this is the worst kind of democracy which is going
right.
on over there. And Pakistan is on a way to the peace and prosperity. So we do not want any such a stupid allegations from anyone. Pakistan is the one who is dealing with the western border. Pakistan is the one who is dealing with the eastern border. And we know on both of the borders, Indians are there. What are the five consulates doing at the Pak Afghan border?
Right.
Why Afghanistan has become so much popular and important for India? There must be reasons. The ragtag nation,
right.
They have opened five consulates. No, this is wrong. This is something insane. India is confused and they are disoriented. And they cannot control their inner situation. They cannot control their inner terrorist groups. And they cannot control the thoughts of RSS, Rashtriya Sevak Sangh, the Sangh Parivar.
Right.
So, the blame game should be on their, they should point, they should understand that when they are pointing one finger, the four fingers are pointing towards them. So now,
right.
now they must come out of this rhetoric.
Exactly.
That Pakistan has done that or Pakistan has done that.
Exactly, Abdullah Gul. I'm Mohammad Shiraz. I would like to, as you have very much in detail discussed this baseless allegations from the Indian side and the state terrorism, which is supported and conducted by the Indian state within the Indian held Kashmir and otherwise as well. But what about the role of the international community? As the Foreign Office spokesperson Dr. Mohammad Faisal asked the international community to stop India from atrocities and gross violations of human rights in held Kashmir and to refrain from any misadventure across the line of control and the working boundary.
Well, lovely, because, first of all, the international community, they have become economic animals. They are just looking at the economic side of India, that they are going to serve 100 and, over 1 billion and 30, 300, no, it is 1.28 billion exactly
right.
in India. So they are counting on that, but this is not the way. If they cannot see the human rights violation going on all over India, just not talking about Kashmir, but all over India, when they are, you know, killing the Christians over there, when they are burning the church over there, when they are, you know, terrorizing their neighborhood. So this is something the world is deliberately, because when the case of Kashmir went to United Nations, it was accepted by the whole world community. Now the world has come that, you know, to a situation where they are calling it time and again that this is a bilateral issue between two countries. Not at all, sir. Because this is not a bilateral issue. This is a problem between two countries, and both of them are nuclear. Now, you know, the world is supporting them because they have their economic interests, and Americans know that only India is the one who is their support in this region. Otherwise, neither China nor Pakistan nor the Central Asian countries, nobody is in support of India, of America. So America is at the back of India, patting them, and they are trying to build up some kind of a regional power against China, and they are thinking that China, India is going to be the one who is going to affect China's, you know, economy as well as their military might. And what happened at Doklam? Haven't they, you know, have they forgotten about it? So India is now building their ports in Myanmar. And what they want, because they want to have their hegemony at Straits of Malacca. So who is behind it? It is America. So I think the world must realize, and rest of the East, I think this is the time that we must shake up Europe and other Arab world countries that this ball game is going in a different way.
Right,
and
sir,
it will eventually lead to a situation where Pakistan will one day react, and by God, when Pakistan will react, we will convert them into a cloud of smoke, inshallah ta'ala.
Right.
In not just more than 5 minutes.
Right.
So,
right,
you know, this is not the way, but Pakistan never wants to do that. But we must not be pushed against the wall.
Right. Thank you very much for the detailed insight into this issue, which is obviously a global issue. Thank you very much, Abdullah Gul, for talking to Radio Pakistan News and Current Affairs Channel. So, listeners, that was Abdullah Gul, an expert on security issues, and he was of the opinion that terrorism should be separated from the freedom fight of the Kashmiri people, and secondly, terrorism is an internal problem of India. Look at the other movements, other instances which are taking place within India, and it is something which is generated internally because of the state's policy over there in India. And he also mentioned about the Afzal Guru case and the response of Indian Supreme Court, which is in no way supports the rule of law, and that is one of the indicators of the kind of discrimination which is being practiced within India against minorities and other people relating to other religions. We will keep on talking on this issue for when we come back after the break. Right now it's time for Mid-Hour News Bulletin.
Mid-Hour News Bulletin. Supreme Court has dismissed petition against Prime Minister challenging establishment of LNG terminal and agreement with Qatar. President has urged scientists and researchers of Muslim Ummah to play a significant role in ensuring development of mankind. Pakistan has urged the world to cooperate to end conflict in Afghanistan. Foreign Office says 11 bodies of Pakistanis who lost their lives in boat tragedy in Libya will arrive in Islamabad on Wednesday. Turkey has alleged the United States of intentionally stalling the fight against Islamic militants in Syria. In Egypt, 28 fighters have been killed in a major military operation in Sinai Peninsula. With this, we'll take a short break. Stay tuned to Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel. We'll be right back.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gawadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Welcome back, listeners. As you know, we were discussing the Pakistani response to the Indian baseless allegations. Let me repeat that the Foreign Office spokesperson said India should refrain from any misadventure across the line of control and the working boundary. Also, in conversation with the with our expert, Abdullah Gul, we posed the question about the international community, and he was a very clear that international, in his opinion, that the international community should look beyond the economic relationships and should not behave like an economic animal, because India is not only terrorizing the people of Jammu Kashmir, but its own people and the people of the region as well. In this regard, he highlighted this collaboration of U.S. India in Afghanistan, and then again he also mentioned about the use of Afghanistan soil against Pakistan by the Indian state. He very clearly mentioned that India has got hegemonic designs. It wants to dominate and without any legitimate without any legitimate cause want to undermine other states in the region. And and once again Abdullah Gul was of the opinion that we are ready for a quick and effective response to all the Indian allegations and any misadventure for that matter. He also highlighted the importance of European Union and of the Muslim countries in that regard as well. Let me take this conversation to Vikas. Vikas, this baseless continuation of this these baseless allegations, whenever there is an incident in India, whether and the important and interesting part is, without any proper investigation into any incident, India directly blames Pakistan and the role of Indian media in that regard. So Vikas, how do you see that? Why the Indian media, instead of playing the role of a facilitator, as Pakistan has been emphasizing on peaceful and negotiated settlement of the Jammu and Kashmir dispute, instead it has been a cause of fueling the fire. So how do you see this behavior of the Indian media?
Thank you, Shiraz. Actually, Indian media has a history, and that history is of causing war hysteria. Whenever there is a report regarding Pakistan, they get into a series of unresearched allegations, and these are not the facts. Reason being that India does not have the substance in the issue that they raise regarding Kashmir, number one. Number two, Indian government has committed so much atrocities in the occupied territory. So in order to conceal whatever wrongdoings they had in occupied territory, they had to get into a situation like this. Number three, the Indian government, specifically the Modi regime, has miserably failed in fulfilling the promises they had made to their people. So now, in order to divert the attention from the internal situation and the situation in Kashmir, they create an enemy outside so that the attention of the people from within India can be diverted, number one. Number two, they do it so that the attention of the world at large can be diverted from the human rights violation and worst form of state terrorism being committed by India in the occupied territory. So this is the only reason they just get into this sort of a blame game. Secondly, Shiraj, we can also see that the stance of Pakistan is quite a legitimate one. Plus, right. The stance of Pakistan has always been for the just struggle of Kashmiri people, because no power at the globe can deny their right to self-determination. It's their divine right. It's the divine right of every citizen on the world. So Pakistan politically, morally, diplomatically supports the Kashmiri brethren, and the only cause is their just struggle. So this is in fact something that is not taken by India as a positive sign.
So this internal dimension which you have mentioned about the situation within India, of the failure of the Modi government in order to fulfill its promises, and the Indian state behaves in that way. Fine, fair enough. But what about the Indian media? Why are they accompanying the Indian state, whereas they are supposed to correct the Indian state whenever it makes mistakes? Instead of correcting them, Vikas, instead of being part of solution, they always end up being part of the problem. So that is that obviously needs to be addressed, and the role of the civil society, the Indian civil society, that also needs to come under the scrutiny or under the spotlight. But why are they so quiet based on these atrocities which India has conducted within Indian held Kashmir? And then again, moving on, especially the most important thing is, the most dangerous thing is, obviously, any chance of misadventure. As I've also posed this question to Abdullah Gul about the role of the international community and what can be done in order to keep the Indian state from any misadventure, because of the fact both these states are nuclear states and Kashmir is a nuclear flashpoint for us.
Shiraz, the only thing that can, in fact, something that we can call substantial is the negotiated settlement of the issue. And that is the only settlement, because at the end of the day, it's the dialogue that, sorts out any situation, be it the situation between India and Pakistan or any other country of the world. And as Pakistan always calls for a peaceful and negotiated settlement of the Jammu and Kashmir, so in line with the UN Security Council's resolution and the wishes of Kashmiri people, that is the only solution. There is no other solution. There is no third solution.
Exactly. Obviously, there is no third solution, but the role of the international community is going to be very important and central towards this. And it is going to be of grave importance that the Indian state exercises logic and sense prevails within the Indian policy circles, because confrontation is in no one's favor. On the one hand, you are airing and fueling state terrorism, and while blaming other countries for your own for your own weaknesses and your own weaknesses and gray areas when it comes to state behavior. So listeners, while at the one end India is blaming Pakistan without any solid proof or a proper investigation, on the other hand, Pakistan is moving on a progressive direction, on a progressive path, and the symptom and the sign of that is the state election, Senate election 2018, which is going to be the next topic of our discussion. Free and fair and transparent elections to help strengthen political system and democratic setup in Pakistan. This is the main progressive an important story taking place within the boundaries of Pakistan. On the one hand, let's see how Pakistan is trying to economically uplift its infrastructure, its overall infrastructure, and its motivation towards an economic challenge, and on the other hand, also strengthening its political infrastructure as well at the same time. So in that regard, scrutiny of nomination papers for provincial seats of Senate is in progress. The Election Commission have rejected 34, has received, 34 nomination papers from Punjab, 8 from Islamabad, 34 from Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, 28 from Balochistan, and 49 from Sindh, and 9 from Fata, the federally administered tribal areas. In Islamabad, returning officer Zafar Iqbal is holding the scrutiny process in the presence of candidates and their representatives. In Karachi, Pakistan, Pakistan's People Party candidates for technocrats and for women's seats were present before returning officer Muhammad Yusuf Khattar for scrutiny of nomination papers. So, Sindh Chief Minister Sayyid Murad Ali Shah, Chairman Senate Mia Raza Rabbani and other party leaders accompanied the candidates. According to Election Commission, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, scrutiny of nomination papers of 20 candidates for 7 general seats was completed today, while scrutiny of nomination paper for 6 technocrat seats was completed yesterday. Scrutiny of nomination papers for contesting Senate elections on 2 women seats is in progress. Polling for the Senate elections will be held on 3rd of next month. So this is a very positive sign. This is going to be a very significant. Another related news, which is the political infrastructure of Pakistan, as I mentioned, and the progressive movement. As we know that recently NA 154 Lodhra one was vacated on the basis of the decision taken by the Supreme Court. The so counting of votes in by-election in NA 154 Lodhra one is underway. 10 candidates are contesting the by-election. The polling, which started at 8 this morning, concluded at 5 in the evening peacefully. According to the returning officer, 431,000 voters were eligible to cast their votes in the by-election. Foolproof security arrangements have been made for holding free and fair by-election. The seat fell vacant due to disqualification of PTI MNA Jahangir Khan Tareen. So, listeners, this is a developing and progressive situation within Pakistan, which is obviously going to be very important and significant. Because this is trend towards democratization, I would say. Your quick response before we go for a break, you know, this trend towards democratization and the strengthening of democratic institutions, how do you see this, how it will be helpful for us in the coming future?
Shiraz, there can be no second opinion that this is in fact a very positive trend in Pakistan, and the future of Pakistan is definitely a very bright future in the context of the democratic institutions in the country. And this process and the continuity will definitely ensure the strengthening of the democratic process, democratic ethos, plus the democratic institutions in the country.
Right. So, yes, it is going to be something which will bring about the strengthening of the institutions and the balance of the institutions, and obviously it will take Pakistan a step ahead, and it will continue with the it will be a step in continuation to what Pakistan has been experiencing in the past a decade or so. Listeners, right now it's time for a short music break. When we will we come back, we will further indulge into the significance of these strengthening democratically strengthening progressive actions and events within Pakistan. Stay tuned to Radio Pakistan.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues, with expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, voice of the nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Thank you.
Welcome back, listeners. So, Vikas, as we were talking about the, you know, the significance of these steps, which are eventually accumulating to the fact that it is they are strengthening Pakistani internal political structure and the democratic infrastructure in Pakistan. So, how do you see all these steps taken by the current government? Look at the economic initiatives in the form of CPAC on the one end, the security initiative in the form of operations against terrorism, and the Karachi operation as well at the same time, while also making sure that the significant political gains are also being made in the form of, you know, these progressive, democratically progressive events such as the Senate election. So, in your opinion, as I was like trying to ask you about previously about the future, how they will shape up the future of Pakistan. Obviously, there is no second opinion about that. It is going to have a positive impact. But what about, what is there for the youth, if we have to say that? What message does it convey to the youth that these progressive moves by Pakistan will eventually lead us towards a more progressive and strengthened democratic state of Pakistan? What does it mean for the youth of Pakistan?
Shiraz, the continuity of this democratic process in Pakistan is very positive, not only for the country, in fact, for the youth, because more than 70% of the people of Pakistan comprises youth. So there is a youth bulge. And the future generation of Pakistan will definitely have to have these democratic institutions strengthened and in place so that they can have the fruits of democracy. As you've been mentioning, the steps that have been taken by the incumbent government to boost the economy of the country plus the overall situation, they are quite positive. Because in first instance, the incumbent regime tackled the situation of law and order. Then it ultimately, you know, led to the emergence of projects like China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. Because with these projects, Pakistan now is in a position on economic takeoff. Now we are ready to have a boost in our economy, and we have all seen that how foreign direct investment has sharply increased with the announcement of China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. And it's not only something that is contemporary, in fact it's futuristic, and it will keep on having its fruits in the coming future as well. So Pakistan will be having a very bright future, plus the connectivity that has been brought to Pakistan with such kind of mega projects, then definitely it is going to enhance the geostrategic and geoeconomic position of Pakistan. And all these steps are in fact steps towards deliverables. And once the democracy will start delivering in the country, the faith of the people in democracy will definitely enhance, and that is in fact a very positive omen for the people who want democracy in the country. And these steps that now we have seen, that the smooth transitions are happening, and with all the hiccups and all the barriers and hurdles and all the conspiracy theories, the democratic system is in place, and it's in fact trying to complete its term. So this is in fact a very positive sign.
Do you think it will contribute to the effort that Pakistan has been committed in its action and policy as well to face the challenges, the uphill task of making sure that the economic and security situation of Pakistan improves to a limit where Pakistan becomes an economic hub, a gateway to progress and prosperity for the world? So how do you see how these steps will contribute to the already taken initiative of by the Pakistani state in order to face the challenges such as terrorism, unemployment and others?
Shiraz, one thing that is very important is the continuity. And continuity ensures the continuity of the policies. And the continuity of policy will definitely bring, and it brings fruits. Because you can see in the current context that Pakistan's relationship with China has always remained very positive. and they have always remained strengthened. And nothing has changed with the changing of the regime. So there was a continuity in the policy of the state of Pakistan, and now you can see the results. That the relationship, a continuous relationship, has turned into a strategic partnership, has turned into an economic partnership, has turned into a partnership that was not as strengthened, as cooperative as it was, as it is today. So the continuity ensures the long-term fruits. And same is for the system. When there is a system that is in place, so there is a policy that is in place. And with that policy, you have a direction, you have a vision. Now, with Pakistan, you can see that we have vision till 2030 and 2025 and later on. So these are the visions that, in fact, ensures that the Pakistan will have this position after this much lapse of time. And
how significant are these kind of, as you mentioned about the continuity? So how significant is this continuity for the promises? Are for the gains we have made so far in all directions, if we may say, on the security, on the political and on the economic front as well.
Shiraz, talking about the continuity and that how it in fact ensures that the things will turn up, I would give you a very simple example that before there was always a blame game in Pakistani politics, and that blame game was because every regime was blaming the other for the wrongdoings that have been done with the at a policy level, and that subsequently led towards a mess up in the country. But now we can see that there is a continuity of the democracy, the continuity of the system. So now the people have started to have, in fact, a very clear picture of that who is responsible for what. And this thing will end up in a time when people will be having very different perspective about the system.
Exactly. Because how do you see the current government, the role of current government in making sure that this continuity stays continuous? And obviously, it is going to be very important. When I say this continuity, by saying that, I mean that the current government obviously has played a very important role to keep this journey of democracy on the right track. So in that regard, how you see the role played by the current government in order to strengthen the democratic process in Pakistan?
Shiraz, the role that the current government has played is very positive and it's very encouraging. Reason being that the incumbent government has ensured that the system should remain in place, and the incumbent government has ensured that there are deliverables at the end of the day from the system, and these will be the yardsticks for the common people to measure the system and its results, and these are the achievements of the current regime, that they have brought economic prosperity to the country. They have brought stability in the law and order situation in the country. They have brought peace to Pakistan, and they have brought development to Pakistan. So these are few steps that can be, you know, given to substantiate that the incumbent government is giving you a positive hope towards the system.
Right. That is obviously the basic responsibility of any government of a state, and I think the Pakistani state itself has been able to, over the period of last couple of years, or beyond that, that is in the last decade or so, has been able to regain its democratic, democratic posture, and now it is trying and building upon those fragile democratic foundations which they were given once, and I think a lot of work has been done in that regard, especially it has shunned the voices of which were raising doubts about any continuity or action, any further action in the direction of democratization or strengthening of democracy in Pakistan. This clearly shuns those voices that the polling for Senate elections will be held on the 3rd of the next month and the scrutiny of nomination papers for provincial seats of Senate is in progress. So it is a clear, representation. It's a clear reflection of the Pakistani drive towards strengthening the democratic process and how it has been able to further, get the support of the people of Pakistan, especially the youth, to make sure that this dream of strengthening democratic processes and infrastructure in Pakistan continues. Your quick comment on the role of the youth in that regard, and especially what the steps taken by the government in order to incorporate their opinion and their future in this process.
Shiraz, the role of youth in Pakistan is very positive and it's very important for out of two reasons. Number one, that 70% of Pakistani population comprises of the youth. Number two, the political activism by youth is very important in the selection of the leadership in Pakistan. So the youth should play its active role in the politics because their role will be a decisive role.
Exactly. So very rightly put, Vikas, that youth, the role of youth is going to be decisive and it is going to be central for that matter for any country. But as we know, Pakistani population constitutes 60% plus people below the age of 25, so it's going to be significant. And obviously, these fair and transparent election will help strengthen political system and democratic setup in Pakistan. Listeners, that was it from the political side of the perspective in that regard. As we know, we have discussed how Pakistan has responded to the baseless allegations put forward by the Indian media, and in that regard, Pakistani Foreign Office spokesperson has said India should refrain from any misadventure across the line of control and the working boundary. On the other end, we have discussed the Pakistani progress as far as strengthening of democratic infrastructure in Pakistan is concerned, and a sign of it is the Senate election 2018, which will take place on the 3rd of next month. Listeners, and now we will go to the weather update before that. More rain, a thunderstorm is expected at scattered places in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, Fatah, Upper Punjab, Islamabad and Kashmir, Gilgit-Baltistan. Listeners, today's program was not possible without the coordination of Program Coordinator Ayaz Khan, Program Engineer Farhan Ali, Program in Charge Imran Latif, and Chief Program Executive Javed Khan Jadoon. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening to Radio Pakistan News and Current Affairs Channel, Islamabad.